Tonight, the man kneeling there wants to remind us about the importance of prayer by looking to Christ's lesson on prayer. Two passages, actually one passage and two parts. First, Matthew 6, 5 through 8. Christ is teaching. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Hypocrites, the play actors, the pretenders. "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." You don't have to knock his door down. And then verses 9 to 13. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." There are many things that could be said here, but let me aim for simplicity and perhaps something profound. Three important instructions concerning prayer. How should the Christian prayer life be different from every other religion? This seems to be it. Number one, pray privately. Do the praying in private. Matthew 6, 5 and 6. "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." To be seen of men. "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Whatever they're praying for, they're not getting that. They got the reward by appearing holy. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is now in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You see, this is saying, actually pray. Talk with God. Your purpose is not to parade your holiness before others. That's not what prayer is all about. You see, if you were to pray in a private place, nobody sees it. So it takes away all the incentive for showing off your holiness. You could put a sign on the door, you know, "Gone into deep and holy prayer, be back 2 hours." They can hear you snoring inside, so they know not what's going on. You see, the whole thing is not the ritual, but the actual talking to God. That's the first lesson. Do this privately. Let me just say it this way. Can I be tough on you? If you do not have a private prayer life, you really don't have a prayer life. If all of your prayer is before others, you may not be doing it to show off. That just may be your duty.
But you don't really have a prayer life if you're not praying privately. Then number two, second lesson, pray passionately. Matthew 6:7-13. When you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. I see Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal, leaping and jumping, and they're not excited enough, so they have to start cutting themselves with their lances, and blood is flowing, more than the blood of the sacrifice. Trying to be heard by their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So you're going to God, and he already knows whatever you need. So the whole purpose is for you to go and share your heart with him, how you are feeling about it. Again, it's not the ritual, saying a rosary over and over again, saying, I saw a Tibetan prayer wheel. It looks like a children's rattle thing, but a handle and then a thing that would spin around. Every time it went around, it's as though you recited a prayer. I saw another one that had a little drum on a stick, and it had little lengths of string or hair or whatever it was with a bead on the end. And then if you went like this, you flipped it around, and the beads went around and hit, bang, 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 whenever you stopped. And so bang, 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 bang. And this again is some sort of a prayer ritual. And how sad it is when our verbal prayers are no more meaningful than bang, 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 bang. Vain repetition. Empty repeats. I've told you the story. It struck me as a great illustration when I was at Bob Jones. During Bible conference one year, they thought they'd try a gimmick to raise money, and they said, it's a coin offering, and they had everybody with metal, like sand pails, so that everybody, you could hear bang, bang, bang in there. And then, you know, nobody thinking, they had somebody that has an offertory music for the offering, you know. Clang, 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 clang. The next day, they apologized to that person, had that person do it again so we could actually hear what it was. But the other consequence of such a thing was people prepared by turning their dollar bill into 100 pennies. Prrr, you know. So a lot of clanking and a lot of pennies. So I was at lunch the next day or a couple days later, and the girl was telling me that she had spent the whole morning taking a handful of pennies and going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Set it aside. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She says, the awful thing was that she came to lunch, she bowed her head and said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She just plugged in the wrong automatic response. Is that what you do? Just blurt out a vain repetition? Or is it a passion? Is it something you're truly dealing with? So speak from the heart. Really talk to God. There is no virtue in repeated words or ritualistic long sessions. And then the third lesson is this. Pray pointedly. Matthew 6:9b-13a, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These are all short, pointed statements, but they are specific. Our English word pray comes through the Middle English from the Latin precare, from prec and prex, meaning request or ask. So to pray is to ask, to make a request. Now, prayer then is not pronouncing a blessing, but making a request. But to be a proper request, it needs to be specific. For instance, if your child asks, make me happy, what would you do? Tickle them? Give them a lollipop? It's not a specific thing. If we ask God, be with me, what does that mean? Did you mean strengthen me for this task? That could be specific. If you say, bless the missionaries, is God going to bless the Seventh-day Adventist missionaries, the Mormon missionaries, the Jehovah's Witness missionaries? Can he bless them? No. And will the missionary write back to share with our church, on that date, I was blessed? He may talk about the blessings, but you see, there's no way for you to know. It's nearly impossible to recognize if your prayer is answered. If you pray, help our church what? Help our church with what? By what? See? Help our church in doing what? Learn to think pointedly, specifically. Jesus taught us to ask for God's kingdom to come. Will you know if that prayer is answered? Yeah. Christ return, peace on earth, animals laying down peaceably with each other. Yeah, I think we'd notice that. He illustrated asking for God's will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Wouldn't that be an interesting newspaper article, you know? Yahoo page. Crime non-existent, people helping each other. You would notice that difference. He wanted us to pray for our daily food. When you get the food, you know that prayer has been answered. He wanted us to pray for forgiveness from our sins. I think you've been Christian long enough to know, when your heart is burdened with sin, you're out of sorts with God, you're not keeping close tabs with your sins, you're just letting yourself go. So ask for forgiveness of sins. Sense that freshness of the Spirit, that lightness of guilt. You can tell when that prayer is answered. And then he told us to ask that God not lead us into destructive temptation, but oppositely deliver us, literally rescue us, from evil, or the evil one, the devil. Don't lead us into destructive temptation, but deliver us from the devil. This is the picture of Job. Don't do with me, please, what you did with Job. Turn him over to the devil, you see. Don't do that to me. And Christ instructed us to pray that. In one sense, every temptation you face, God has allowed you to be tempted. But he never allows you to be tempted above what you're able. So he has made sure you have access to the strength to defeat it. But Christ says, pray that God not lead us into temptation. I pray that every morning for my family. Keep them from the destructive temptation. Those choices for self that destroy a spiritual life, that destroy a family, that destroy the children, that would be too much to bear. So, all of these are specific requests. They are recognizable requests. So pray pointedly. So, what was it? Pray privately. Pray passionately, actually from the heart. And then pray pointedly. And in this way, we're not pretending to pray. We're not going about a ritual of prayer. We are praying. Be careful when you talk about prayer. Don't talk about saying your prayers. That comes from the heathen who have prayers that you memorize and then you say those prayers. Don't trick your mind into saying prayers. Pray. Pray. Comments or questions? Yes, ma'am.
There's a lady, I believe she's a Christian lady, at work, but they send me sometimes to do her work so that she can go on break. The other day she said, will you take a paper towel over there so I can go ahead and start my prayer? And I thought, as soon as you told me that you're praying, that the offer where you get.
Yeah. Yeah, let me start my ritual. How impressive was Nehemiah, suddenly surprised by the king's question, what would you ask? Here's a king that could give him anything he asked. What would you ask? And it says, Spurgeon preached a sermon on this and he called it ejaculatory prayer. He says, I prayed to God and answered the king. Wow. Just like that, boom, there was the prayer and the answer, and he knew exactly what to ask. So it's not a matter of going into ritual and praying. You know, I pray when I drive, not with my eyes closed. It's not a matter of faith, it's just a matter of common sense. So pray without ceasing, but have your own private prayer time. And that might be when you're in the car by yourself.